Good morning. We are dealing with the topic. The Mishnah had listed three cases of someone who brought property into his friend's courtyard without permission. Someone who brought in pots, someone who brought in fruits, and someone who brought in oxen. And the common denominator that the Mishnah seemed to teach is that wherever the property is brought in without permission, if the property damages the oxen of the host, then the owner of this property is liable because he had no permission to bring his stuff in. And if his stuff gets damaged, so he doesn't get paid because he had no permission to bring his stuff in. So Rav said this case of the of fruit is not talking about fruit that's eaten, but rather it's referring to an animal that slips on the fruit, because Rav was of the opinion that there is the claim, which is a compelling claim, of havalei shelo tochal. The animal should never have eaten it. In other words, when I'm responsible for damage, that's when I damage someone else's property. I'm not responsible when someone else's ox damages itself. That animal eats my fruit and it gets a stomachache because it ate my fruit. It's doing the act of damage to itself. So it's responsible and I'm not responsible. So what did the Mishnah mean that if I brought the fruit into the courtyard without permission, if the animal gets damaged, I'm responsible? What it means is if the animal slips on my fruit, I would be responsible. But if the animal ate my fruit, we would say, havalei shelo tochal, it never should have eaten. So Rav Sheshes disagreed with Rav. Rav Sheshes said, Rav said this when he was sleeping. Because we looked in a braisa that if a person puts poison in front of an animal, and the animal then eats the poison, so the person who put the poison is not guilty in the laws of man, but he's guilty in the laws of heaven. So poison, which is something that an animal shouldn't eat, it's not when he's not guilty in the laws of man. It sounded like if he would put fruit, which it's normal for an animal to eat, then even in the laws of man he would be guilty. Why? Why don't we say Rav's logic, the animal's damaging itself by eating, the animal should never have eaten? And we don't say that. So they answered in the yeshiva, really that law would have been even with fruit. Even if you put fruit in front of an animal and the animal got hurt by eating too much fruit, the person who put the fruit would only be guilty in the laws between man and God, not guilty in the laws between man and man, not guilty in the courts. So why didn't it mention that? It mentioned poison to tell you how far with poison, that even though it's poison, which is something that animals don't normally eat, if the animal ate it, he would have a moral obligation, b'dinei shamayim, to pay. Or else, the reason why it was talking about poison, it was talking about poison which it does normally eat. It's talking about poison which is like a grass. And the poison which is like a grass, the animal does eat. And we're seeing, even though it does normally eat it, he's not guilty in the laws between man and man, and not guilty in the court. He's only guilty in the eyes of heaven, because of the rule of Rav, of havalei shelo tochal. That a person can claim, your animal should never have eaten, your animal is damaging itself. I didn't damage your animal damaged itself.
All right, why he says the laws of heaven, why not the laws of hell?
The laws of heaven meaning that that's the morally correct thing to do. Okay, the court won't enforce it, but it's the right thing.
Okay, and secondly, if you put rat poison, is that the part of that poison you're talking about?
Yeah.
Even that poison is the laws of heaven?
Yeah, well, you didn't damage the animal directly. You put down the poison and the animal ate it. Yeah,
right, but then now you have to deal with the laws of heaven for killing a rat?
Killing an animal.
If you put rat poison in your friend's courtyard and because of that his cow eats it and his cow dies, morally you should pay him for the cow.
But when you say animal, rat could be an animal too, right?
If there is a guy next door who's a professor who's doing lots of research on rats and you put down poison and you caused all of him to lose his rats, morally you should be paying.
So this is also the problem if he eats the fruit and he gets sick, the animal gets a stomachache. It's also, you have a moral
responsibility. The animal is doing it to itself.
But you have the moral responsibility.
Well, that's the question. Yeah, it sounds like you'd have the moral responsibility. That's right.
How do you make tshuva between Hashem?
It's the right thing to do. You should pay the money. The right thing to do to pay the money, but the court won't force you to pay the money.
So you should still pay.
You should pay the money. It's the right thing. So now the Gemara challenges this lesson of Rav. Again, remember, it's an argument between Rav and Rav Sheshes. So Meisve, we learned in a Braisa, I'll challenge you. It's a woman who goes into a house to grind wheat. Let's say a guy has a mill and she brings it. We're at the two dots on Mem Zayin and Beis. She brought in wheat in order to grind it. But she brought the wheat into the house when there was a sign saying no one's allowed in. Store's closed right now. The mill is closed. But she came in anyway with her wheat. And the animal of the balabayas eats the wheat. Potter, the owner of the animal, doesn't have to pay because he never gave her permission to bring the wheat in. And he doesn't have to watch his animal from eating things that he didn't expect to be there. However, if the animal got damaged by the wheat, she needs to pay for the animal. Now, why should she have to pay for the animal of the balabayas that got damaged? Why can't she make the argument of Rav? I wasn't expecting your animal to eat. Your animal damages itself by eating. Amri, they answered, Miyadif Masnisim. Well, Rav gave an answer for our Mishnah too, which talked about wheat, you know, fruits being brought into a field. So the case of the Mishnah was when the animal slips on the fruits. Slipping is not something where you say it should never have eaten. So that's what happened here. With the Karla Mai Karlas. What were you thinking initially? Why didn't you always give that answer? Hamalacha, the one who asked the question will tell you, Mishnah Masnisim, the Mishnah's language was Katani Imhuska Bahen. If she got damaged by them, that sounds like shluchel kabahenu, that it slipped on the fruits. Avalacha katani, but here in the Braisa it said imhuska, if it got damaged, lo katani bahen, it didn't say it got damaged with them. It sounds like if it got damaged because it ate, so achilahu to katani, it sounded like it was eating. Vidach, and the one who gave you the answer will answer you, amalacha lo shal, there's no difference. Whether it says bahen or it says huska, either way it can mean it got damaged by slipping and not damaged by eating. Tashma, coming here, another proof. We learned in another braisa. Hichnis shoru l'chatzu balabai shlo b'rshus. A person brings his ox into the courtyard of his friend without permission. V'yachal chitin, and the ox eats my friend's wheat, that I had no permission to be in his domain. And my ox eats his wheat. V'hitris, and then my ox gets sick with an intestinal problem, and it has diarrhea. Umeis, and then the ox dies. Potter, the owner of the wheat and the owner of the courtyard, doesn't have to pay. But if the owner of the courtyard invited my ox in, so then when my ox gets sick with diarrhea from his wheat and dies, he needs to pay for the loss of my ox. Why? Why should he have to pay? Here my ox is getting sick from the wheat, from eating. According to Rav, whenever you have the act of eating, we say that's the animal doing it to itself. The animal is eating, and you don't have responsibility. Rava said, "Birshus hashalo, birshus karamis." You're asking a question from the case when permission was given for me to bring in my ox to the case of Rav when there was no permission. In other words, when I bring in fruit without any permission to bring in fruit, and then some animal eats my fruit. So Rav's point is, when I brought in the fruit, there was no permission for me to bring in the fruit. I never made any commitments to watch his animal. So then we say, that animal should never have eaten my fruit. But if I bring my courtyard into your... I bring my ox into the courtyard because you invited my ox in. So when you invite my ox in, Shmira Shoro Kibel Alef. When you invite my ox in, you're saying you're going to watch my ox. Afilu Chanak Esatzma. You're saying you're going to watch my ox. You're inviting him in. When you're going to watch my ox, you're saying you're going to watch my ox even to prevent my ox from choking itself. You know, you're going to take care of the ox. So now that you didn't take care of the ox, you allowed the ox to eat wheat and get a diarrhea and to die, so then you need to pay. But that's not the same as the case of Rav, when the fellow who brought him the fruit had not accepted any commitment to watch the fruit or to watch the oxen. So now, we just said that according to the Chachamim, if the owner of a courtyard invites his friend to bring his oxen, that means he's promising to watch the ox and to protect the ox and to make sure that the ox is not going to get hurt. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that Rebbe disagreed with that. Rebbe said only if he said explicitly, bring it in and I'll watch it, does he have to watch it. But if he just says bring it in, that's not a commitment to also watch it. So he boiled that a question in the yeshiva. Let's say the owner of the courtyard has accepted to watch the ox, either because it's Rebbe's view and he said, bring your ox in and I'll watch it, or the Chachamim's view, whenever he says you have permission to bring your ox in, it means I'm going to watch it. So what does that mean? To what extent is he going to watch it? And Nafshe, is he saying, when you have permission to bring your ox into my courtyard, I'll watch my stuff from damaging your ox, who the Kibbalah, that's what he accepted. Odumah, maybe when he says, you can bring your ox into my courtyard, he's saying, I'm going to watch your ox, and even other people's ox, and I won't allow them to damage your ox in my courtyard. Tashma, come in here. Tani, Rav Yehuda Bar Simon, Ben Ezekin, the Bekarna. Rav Yehuda Bar Simon taught amongst the brisos of all of the issues of damages that were taught in the Beis Medrash of Karna. If someone brings fruits into the courtyard of somebody else without permission, an ox from some other place comes, and he ate them, patur, that ox doesn't have to pay. But if the owner of the courtyard invited him in to bring his fruits, chayiv, and the ox came and ate the fruits, he has to pay. So man patur, man chayiv. Who has to pay and who is exempt? Lav pater balachat. So it doesn't mean that if he brought the stuff in without permission, the owner of the courtyard doesn't have to pay because he never accepted to watch it. And then if he brought the fruit in with permission, chayiv balachat, then the owner of the courtyard has to pay even though it was consumed by somebody else's ox. They said in the yeshiva, lo, that's not what the braisa means. If he brought the fruit in without permission, Pater Balashor, then the owner of the ox is exempt, even though it wasn't the ox of the courtyard owner, it's some other guy's ox, but these fruits should never have been here. And if, though, he had a right to put his fruits in this courtyard, Chayiv Balashor, the owner of the ox is obligated. So Gemara asks, "E balashor, if we're talking about the owner of the ox, my birshus and my shalom birshus ika, what difference does it make whether the fruits had permission to be put in the courtyard or they didn't have permission to be put in the courtyard? This is not the ox of this courtyard. This is an ox coming from somewhere else. So he should be obligated for eating the fruit." Ami, they answered in the yeshiva, if the owner of the fruit had permission to put his fruit into the courtyard, so then, because he has permission to put the fruit in the courtyard, that means that the owner of the courtyard is giving him the courtyard somewhat. At least the space where the fruit is belongs to him. So Havulay, so now when another ox comes and eats his fruit, it's not the owner of the courtyard's ox, it's some other guy's ox, Levi's ox comes and eats his fruit, it's Shane, Birshus Anizak. It's the damager of tooth consuming fruit in the domain of the one damaged. The pasuk says, the animal would consume in the field of somebody else. So now the owner of the ox has to pay. However, if you put the fruit there without permission, so then his fruit has no right to be there. So that's like a guy who puts down fruit in the public domain, which he has no right to put fruit down there. If an ox eats that fruit, he doesn't get reimbursed. It's not bizdeachir. It's not in his field. Avalei b'shus harabim v'shem. Avalei shem b'shus harabim v'shem b'shus harabim is pot. So again, we're dealing with the question of when someone invites somebody else into his domain. So according to the Chacham, that means he's also accepting to watch that other person's stuff. According to Rebbe, doesn't mean that yet, but if he says, come into the domain with your stuff and I'll watch them, then it means he watches him. So when he's accepting to watch, what does that mean? Does it mean that he's going to watch it from his own stuff? It means he's going to watch it absolutely, even from other people's damages. Tashma, come in here, proof. We learned. If somebody brings in an ox into my courtyard without my permission, and an ox comes from my neighbor, not one of my oxen, somebody else's ox comes, and he gores this ox that's in my courtyard with no permission, and the ox dies, Pater, that other ox doesn't have to pay. And if I had given permission for him to bring in the ox, and now a third person's ox comes and gores it and kills it, chayiv, he has to pay. So man pater, man chayiv. Who's obligated to pay? Who is exempt? Lav pater balabayis. Doesn't it mean the first case, I, the guy who invited him in, am exempt, because I never had invited him in the first case? And the second case, when it says I'm obligated, it means I, the balachatza, the owner of the courtyard, is obligated. And that means that when someone says, you can bring your stuff into my courtyard, he's saying, and I will watch it from my neighbor. I will watch it from wherever it might get damaged. Look, that's not what it means. When it said, pater, that he's exempt, that means balashor. My neighbor is exempt. If Shimon's ox is in my domain without permission, my neighbor is exempt if his ox kills it. But if Shimon's ox is allowed to be in my courtyard and my neighbor's ox kills it, he has to pay. So, Iachis, 1 second. If we're talking about an ox killing, my birshus, or my shalom birshus ika, what's the difference between whether the damaged ox had permission to be in my courtyard or not? We're not talking about tooth. Tooth, which is eating, it's only an obligation, birshus anizak, in the domain of the owner of the fruit. But here we're talking about goring. Goring applies in the public domain too. So here we're talking about goring. So what's the difference whether that ox had permission to be here or it didn't have permission to be here? Answer the Gemara Army. They answered in the yeshiva, money Rabbi Tarfon, it's the view of Rabbi Tarfon. Damar, who said, even though Mishune Karen, even though goring is unusual, b'chatzera nizak, if an animal gores my animal in my house, then nezek shalim is shalim. Right away he has to pay full damages. And if it gored my animal in the street, it only pays half damages. So that's the difference. Birshus, if I gave permission to Shimon to bring his ox into my courtyard, then havilei karen b'chatzera nizak. That means I'm giving Shimon the right of ownership in my courtyard. That means when Levi's ox gores Shimon's ox in my courtyard, it's really goring Shimon's ox in Shimon's courtyard. And havilei karen birshus anizak, and he has to pay full damage. Misham nezek shalim. Shelo birshus, but if Shimon had no permission to come into my courtyard and he brought his ox in anyway, so havilei karen birshus harabim. Then when Levi's ox gores his ox, it's a goring in the public domain. And in the public domain, lo mishal, what does it mean? Pater doesn't mean pater entirely. Pater from full damages. Lo mishal in elachati nezek. It has to pay only half damage.
None of these shed light on the question of whether or not he's accepting responsibility or not accepting responsibility to watch.
That's our point. We're disproving. Right? We're saying he can't prove it. That's our point. It's inconclusive. Hahi itzah. Now a story. There was a woman. The whole Solomefas Bahubesa. She walked into a house to bake in a house, to use the oven and bake things. Asa bracha, a goat came, Demari de Besa, that belonged to the owner of the house. Achla Lelisha, and ate the dough. Chavil umes. Then he got a problem in his stomach from the dough, and he died. Chiva Rava, Lishlumit me baracha. Rava said she had to pay for the goat because she brought in the dough. So Gemara says, Lema pliga adirav. So 1 second. Maybe we should say that Rava's like Rav Sheshes against Rav. Because Rav says that when an animal gets damaged because it eats too much, you, the owner of the food, are exempt because the animal is damaging itself. It should never have eaten so much. It hurt itself. Here, she was made to pay for a goat that ate. So you see against Rav. Amri, they answered in the yeshiva, Haki asked, what's the comparison? The case of Rav is when somebody brings fruits into my courtyard without my permission. So that person who put the fruits in my courtyard has never accepted to watch the fruits. But over here, she had permission to come into the courtyard. Therefore, that means that she has permission. She knows that she has to watch her stuff. If she's being allowed in, she's going to have to watch her stuff. So she knew she had to watch her stuff, and that's why she has to pay for the damage to the ox, to the goat. The Gemara says, Umayishna, why is this any different from what we learned? The woman who came in to grind wheat at the mill, shalobishus, without permission, and the animal of the mill ate the wheat, potter. The owner of the animal is exempt for paying for the wheat because she had no permission to bring it in there. But if the animal were to get damaged, she would have to pay. Taima, why does she have to pay? Because she didn't have permission. But if she would have had permission, Pater, she would have been exempt for paying for the damage to the animal. Why don't we say that once she has permission to bring things in, she knows she has to watch it? Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva, there's a difference between the brisa and the case of Rava. Litchon chitim, if a woman's bringing wheat in to grind them, there's no need for modesty. It's not an immodest act to grind wheat, so men can be around as well. And therefore, lo boy misalke mirav marvasa dechatzer nafshayu. The owner of the courtyard had no reason to leave. Therefore, Aleidi Dei Raminitirusa, he has to be the one to watch his animal from getting damaged from the wheat, because he's expecting to stay there when she's there with the wheat. However, Avala Mefas, in a case of Rava, a woman came in to bake. When a woman's baking, came in to buy a Hitzniusa. When she's baking, she's going to have to be kneading the dough, she's going to uncover her arms. It's not going to be modest for him to stay around. So therefore, she knows that he's going to walk out. So once she knows he's going to walk out, Marvasa dechatzer misalki nafshayu, the owner of the courtyard has to leave. And since she knows he has to leave, hilkachaladida raminitirusa, therefore she knows that she's the one who needs to do the watching. And therefore, when he gave her permission to bring her stuff in, she accepted also that she would watch her stuff from damaging his ox. Since his ox got damaged, she needs to pay. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah had three cases. The Mishnah spoke about a potter, it spoke about someone with grain, and it spoke about an owner of an ox. Now we deal with the ox. Person who brings in his ox into the domain of somebody else without permission. If that other person, the owner of the courtyard, damages my ox, he doesn't have to pay. If my ox damages his ox, I brought my ox in again without permission, I need to pay. Amar Rava taught, let's say I bring an ox into my friend's courtyard with no permission. And my ox digs all sorts of pits, a round pit, a square pit, a cave pit in his domain. I'm responsible, I, the owner of the ox, I'm responsible for the damage done to the courtyard. However, but now that there are all these pits, if he then were to make his courtyard hefker and turn it into a public domain, and animals fall into these pits and get damaged, he would be responsible for the damages, even though he himself didn't dig the pits. Even though the Gemara says later, when the Torah talks about when a man will dig a pit, velo shorbar, not when an ox digs a pit. But over here, it's true that the ox dug the pit, but after the ox dug the pit, he could have filled it in. And instead of him filling in the pits, he went and he made the whole courtyard hefker and turned it into a public domain and now made a pit in the public domain. So Kamanda Kayedami, it's as if he dug it, and therefore he is responsible for the damage of the pit. Amar Rava taught, if I bring my ox into your domain without your permission, the hizik is balabayis, and my ox damages you, or balabayis, I'm sorry, right? Hizik is balabayis, and the ox damages the balabayis. Oh, balabayis huzakbo, or let's say the owner of the house got damaged by the ox, he slipped on the ox, he tripped on the ox. Chayiv, the owner of the ox is responsible. Ravatz, if the ox sat down, patur. Then the owner of the ox is exempt. So Gemara says, what understanding? Mishum de ravatz patur, because the ox is sitting down, now the owner of the ox is exempt. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, my ravatz, what does it mean if the ox sat down? Not that he sat down. Ravatz means, hirbitz klolim, if he dropped excrement. And v'nitifu kelev shel balabayis, the excrement ruined the clothing of the owner of the courtyard. Then the owner of the ox is exempt. Why? To have your glolim bor. Because once it drops excrement, that excrement becomes a pit. The pasuk says that in a pit, you're responsible for an ox or a donkey that falls into a pit. You're not responsible for inanimates that get damaged in a pit. So clothing doesn't have life. It's a utensil, so you don't have to pay for the damage to the clothing. So Gemara says, that's fine according to Shmuel that says any stumbling block has the status of a pit. But Rav says the only way something has a pit is if it's ownerless. So Michael, I mean, what are you going to say here? So I mean, the answer very simply, if I put my ox into your courtyard, and then my ox drops a bunch of excrement, I'm not trying to own that excrement, I'm automatically making the excrement hefker. I don't care for the excrement. Therefore, it's a pit. And now, if it damages clothing, I shouldn't have to pay. Another law. We are my Rava. Rava taught another thing. Nichnas l'chatzir balabayis shelo b'rishus, v'hizik is balabayis. A person who went into the courtyard of his friend without permission, and he damages his friend. Oh, balabayis huzak bo, or his friend tripped on him. Chayiv, the guy who walked in with no permission, has to pay. He's eco balabayis, but if the owner of the house damages the guy who walked in, potter, then the owner of the house is exempt because he had no right to be inside the courtyard. Amrav Papa, Rav Papa said, lo amarin, when do we say that? The balabayis doesn't need to pay if he damages the one who comes in without permission.
That's the light.
The timer is off. That's
the timer is all off.
The light went off without permission.
Right.
Now Paul trips on the way to the light switch. Who dug the pit?
Who dug the pit? Ah, so. Rav Papa said, lo, Amar, we didn't say this. Elo the lo have a yadabe, right? Where the owner of the courtyard doesn't notice that there is a trespasser there. Abel have a yadabe, but if he sees the trespasser, even though the guy has no right to be there, heziko balabayis chayiv. If the owner of the courtyard damages him, he does have to pay. Naitaima, why? Mishum damle, because the trespasser can tell him like this. Nehidis lachushus lafkui. You have permission to throw me out. Lazuki, less lach reshusu. You don't have permission to damage me. You could have told me to leave. I would have left. V'az l'tamayu. And now, Gemara says, Rav Papa and Rava are following their points that they've said elsewhere. V'amar Rava v'tem Rav Papa, because Rava said something, some say it was Rav Papa who said, Shneim birshus, two people who are walking the street, both with permission to be there. Or shneim shelo birshus, or two people walking the street and they both are not allowed to be there. In hiziku zezeh, if they damage each other, chayavin, then they have to pay damages because they're both in an equal scenario. So therefore, a guy who walks in, if they get damaged in each other, then Pturim, then they are exempt. So time with the Shneim Bershus or Shneim Shlo Bershus. When do you have these laws if they are both there with permission or they're both there without permission? Avalechad Bershus Vechad Shlo Bershus. If one is inside the courtyard without permission, the other one is allowed to be here because it's his courtyard, and they damage each other, De Bershus Pater. The one who, it's his courtyard, who's allowed to be here, is exempt from paying from the damages to the one who is there without permission. Because he should never have been, he's not, there's no expectation on him to think that someone's going to be there. And therefore, he didn't have to be careful about it. Shalobrishus, but the one who's there without permission is chayiv, is obligated for the damage that he causes, because he knows that he's here without permission. The other guy doesn't know about him. And therefore, he's the one who has the responsibility to be careful. And that's like this law that we just said, that if somebody comes into a courtyard without permission, so the one who came in, if the owner of the courtyard gets damaged on him, he has to pay. However, if the owner of the courtyard doesn't notice him and damages him, he doesn't have to pay, because he didn't know he was there. He didn't have to expect that he should be there. Next case, I allow, it's in the Mishnah.
But let me just think, he sees, say, for example, he sees his car parked in front of his house. Should he assume that he's in the house and then he's responsible?
Well, maybe once he knows already, then he would know, maybe. No, then the Mishnah said, let's say an ox comes into my courtyard without permission. If the ox fell into my pit and ruined the water, the owner of the ox has to pay. Amar Rava, Rava said, Lo shanu el shivish b'shas nefila. That's true. If the ox was dirty, and when he fell into the water, he ruined the water. Avaliach nefila. But let's say the ox was clean. Fell into the water was fine. But then by being in the water, he drowned. And then once he drowned, he smelled bad and he ruined the water. Pata, the owner of the ox, is exempt from ruining the water. My timer, why? Because once the ox is already there, havi shor bor, the ox becomes a pit. Now, a pit that damages inanimates, you don't have to pay. Mayim kalim, the water becomes utensils. Avalachan, right? Okay. Veloma tzinu bor shekibosa kalim. The pit never has to pay for utensils. Again, the Gemara says the same thing we said before. Hanich l'shmuel damar kol takala baru. That's fine according to Shmuel that says any stationary damager is a pit. El Rav damar damafkilu ma'ikolameima. But Rav says that when you own it, it's sure, it's not a pit. What are you going to say? So the Gemara says, okay, Eli Yitmar, if you want to say something, Hach Yitmar, this is what Rava said. Amar Rava, Rava said, Lo shanu el shivish migufo. This is true. If the ox is dirty, and it falls into the pit and it ruins the water, the owner of the ox, who had no permission to put his ox in the courtyard, has to pay for ruining the water. Avo me recho, but if it was the smell of the ox that damages the water, then potter, then the owner of the ox is exempt. My time, a why? The smell is not the ox itself. Once the ox is dead, the smell comes. So that's already grama. Grama ba'amu, that's that he caused some other thing to come. Grama ba'amu lo mechayev. This is a famous rule in damages. We haven't seen much of it yet, but we will as we go through the Masechta. Grama b'nizakin is potter. Then the Mishnah said, if they're in this pit, was the father of the owner of the courtyard of the son, and the ox kills it, he pays kofar. Amai, what do you mean? A tam, who presumably if you fall into a pit, it's not something you do often. It's a tam. And we know tam is pater, doesn't have to pay the kofar penalty. We're talking about an animal that always does this. Iyachi Bartal, it should have been killed already if that's the case. Rav Yosef said, it's not getting killed, the chazi ruk of a nafal. You can't kill an animal if it's not intending. It wasn't intending to kill, because it keeps looking to eat grass and falling into the pit. But since it ends up killing people, eventually it has to pay kofar. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Amani Rabbi Yosef Avili, Amar Tam, Mishalem, Chatzi Kofar. This is according to Rabbi Yosef Avili, who says that a Tam has to pay half kofar. And that's why he has to pay over here.